The head of the National Security Agency and commander of U.S. Cyber Command, Admiral Mike Rogers, says having stronger offensive cyber capabilities will help prevent future cyber attacks. That's one of his messages to the Senate Armed Services Committee. Ron Marks is senior fellow for the Center for Cyber and Homeland Security at George Washington University. He says having a cyber strategy that focuses more on offense might wind up causing more cybersecurity problems for federal agencies. And Ron, it's important to note that you do this for a living and spent 16 years in the Central Intelligence Agency working on these issues. Thank you for being on today. As you heard Director Rogers, Admiral Rogers speak, you were reminded of a movie. What was the movie you were reminded of, and why is that? Thanks for being on, my friend.
No, delighted, Francis. Delighted to be on this afternoon, and also thoughts and prayers to everybody up at NSA. I'm glad the people were secure inside the compound, and a tribute to the security people up there for taking care of them. That was a very difficult situation, as near as I can tell. The movie I was referring to was The Untouchables. For those of us who are of a certain age, there was a great scene where Sean Connery, who's a longtime cop in Chicago, explains to Elliot Ness in no uncertain terms that the way you play this game with Al Capone is if he pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And it was interesting, when I was listening to Rogers talk to Senator McCain, my first thought was, you can send one to the morgue, and I hear what you're saying. You want to get in there and you want to nail these guys, but you better figure out what happens when they come back at you. And one of my real concerns here, and it's been throughout this entire process, is how we in the government interact with the private sector. Private sector contains, there are all these wonderful numbers between 80 and 90% of our infrastructure in our country, our critical infrastructure in particular. Yet they do not have the same levels or types of security and enforcement that they might need to have across the board, number one. And number two is the ability to share that information of attack or of potential attack or of security issues with the government has been limited, both by internal stockholder concerns, but also, frankly, by the laws of the land right now, which both the Senate and the House Intelligence Committee are now trying to deal with.
I thought of a different parallel than you did, although I enjoy yours. I thought more of the arms race during the Cold War, because the primary opponents, it strikes me, that we have in the cyber realm right now are nation states. We're worried about cyber attacks from China, and we're worried about cyber attacks from Russia, not as much from other sources. And it seems to me that following Director Rogers, Admiral Rogers' idea would get us into potentially that kind of an arms race. Now, I'm not saying that's a good or a bad idea. I'm just suggesting that's something that maybe we should think of as a possibility if this is how we proceed.
Yeah, to some extent, we're in that arms race right now. Every time you see an attack, it's ramped up slightly more than it's been before. Suddenly, players like Iran and North Korea and others have found this as a cheap weapon. I mean, and ultimately it is. It's not expensive. A denial of service attack is one thing. The ability to break down computers, such as Iran did to Saudi Arabia, is another. The ability to interfere with communications, the inability to interfere with our electrical infrastructure, for instance. I mean, these are all within the realms of possibility, relatively inexpensive, can be done by nations, anybody who has a cyber capability. I mean, if we were to cross Monaco at this point, they could do it. And I give that as obviously an example, maybe an extreme example. But, these are weapons unlike nuclear weapons or unlike large-scale tactical military weapons of a kinetic nature, if I can use that term, that are readily available to people. So, when you get into this fight, you're going to have to deal with what kind of weapons these guys got. Everybody's sort of the same in this arena. You're also going to deal with the fact that they may not come after your military. Why should they? If there are other vulnerabilities in your country, especially on the private side, especially, again, on critical infrastructure, whether it be the electrical industry in particular, the financial industry is actually pretty hardened. But nevertheless, are we going to counter? How are we going to counter what happened with Sony? Are we going to do what we did now in the immediate past year where we said, okay, you North Korea, we're going to nail you back. Okay, that's fine. North Korea is relatively small, relatively concentrated. Frankly, they were ham-handed. In terms of what they did to Sony, they left a trail a mile long. What are you going to do if somebody's more clever than that? Are we going to release a whole group of cyber weapons against, pick a country, let's just say Iran for a moment, because Iran attacked Goldman Sachs? Well, all right. What does that mean? Are we going to counterattack them? That's great. They can counterattack other of our institutions as well. And until we have a unified defense here, a well-thought-out, well-coordinated, unified defense between the public and private sector, I would be loath to start using the kind of language that he used there, at least in terms of practicing it. You want to get into this fight, be prepared. But you're going to have everybody else with you who's in this fight, whether they want to be or not, prepared to deal with this.
Ron Marks, senior fellow at the Center for Cyber and Homeland Security at the George Washington University. And that's the broader problem that I wanted to go to next, is part of this may be a definitional problem as we try to figure out what exactly a cyber act of war is and what's not. What if we learned that the target attack a couple of years ago had been perpetrated by a nation state? If they went to target headquarters and did some kind of physical damage, the government or military of another country, of course that would call for retaliatory action. And yet we're not sure, I guess we're not really sure what we're sure of when it comes to making those kinds of decisions when the attack is actually perpetrated by a military or nation state, but they do it from another country.
Yeah, the tough part on this, and part of it is our gaining experience into this. Ultimately, we're still 10 years into this thing. We're just a decade into real cyberspace, as you would know it, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or some of these other social networks date back to 2004 and practice 2005, 6, and 7. So we're really, in a way, relatively new to this. And the only reason I'm giving that excuse very simply is I think if we have more data points over time, we're going to be able to start making some distinctions between law enforcement and what you're talking about, law enforcement and exercise of military power. At what point in time does this thing stop being an issue of criminal activity and it starts to move over into a military activity? And is everything a government might be doing against the American private sector, is that a military activity? If it is, that says something different in terms of the politics of this. I don't know how we quite make that judgment yet, as you can tell from some of the responses we've been feeling our way through. The Sony one, if you look at it, was really the first one where people said this is no longer a criminal act. This is a blatant political act, and a political act is an extension of war, and war as a consequence of that is what we will have. But, I would suggest to you that other nations are going to be much more subtle than that. For instance, is China continuing, and China has continued to engage in a series of provocations, taking our most sensitive technological material? Well, is that a law enforcement issue or is that a military issue? In my mind, it's a military issue, and we need to start hitting them back pretty hard. But that raises it up to a whole different level in terms of the political nature. And also, by the way, does that force them into a position or make them think in a position, all right, well, you're going to attack us, well, we'll attack you, back to the Chicago way.
Yeah, and my understanding too, Ron, is that nobody, there's no country around the world that has figured out any better than we have what's appropriate, cyber to kinetic, kinetic to cyber, et cetera. So if we perpetrated a cyber attack on another country, we don't have any confidence that their retaliation or their response would be limited to cyber any more than Secretary Panetta, when he was Secretary of Defense, promised we wouldn't necessarily stick to one method over the other when one was perpetrated against us.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, we're all feeling this out. This is as new a dimension and a domain to everybody else as it is to us. We have some tactical advantages because we were in many ways the ones who developed it. On the other hand, I think the Russians and the Chinese have done a terribly good job of learning how to exploit it. But everybody has vulnerabilities in their system. There is no such thing as 100% security under any circumstances. And even if you are sharing all the information, and I know that seems to be the big thing on the Hill right now, the two information sharing bills in the House and Senate side, can government share with law enforcement, or rather private industry share with law enforcement, or share with the federal government or NSA and how long does this work, et cetera. These are all interesting sideshows, which are necessary in the sense of formulating a given policy. Everybody's playing off the same playbook. But the fact of the matter is, just as you said, we are now in a position where if we begin to engage in this kind of battle within cyberspace, and it is a battle, it is a low-intensity conflict, a battle, whatever you want to call it, we're going to have to be prepared for a response that may be equal or greater. And we really haven't set out any rules of war or, frankly, rules of engagement in this battle space.